welcome again to Discardorama, the podcast where we bring you the best in lost sounds. These are records that we've found in dustbins, in skips, in charity shops, in various different places that people were chucking away or didn't want anymore. And we bring them back to life for your delectation. Good evening, Stuart.
Hello.
Good evening, Mike.
Hello.
And how would you like to start us off with a little tune?
I'd like to start you off with a little New Brunswick three-piece from the 80s. The band's called Spiral Jetty, track's called Little by Little.
Early morning TV, I'm watching the shows. I wish I was in Hollywood.
Little by a band called Spiral Jetty. For ages I thought they were going to be the only band that I knew who were named after a piece of sculpture. Spiral Jetty is a piece of artwork that goes out from the land, all these boulders, out into the sea and curves round on itself. But I recently discovered Soundgarden. They're named after a garden in Seattle where there's bits of stuff hanging round, and when the wind gets into it, it hums, hence their name. We've had discussions before about where bands get their names from, and obviously art isn't as well covered as other areas.
Which is surprising, really, because you get a lot of art rock bands.
Well, off the top of my head, I thought Bauhaus, Art of Noise, and you get some labels which are kind of arty, pretentious as well. But books certainly get the best. Velvet Underground, Heaven 17, Supertramp. I love Supertramp. They were named after an autobiography called Autobiography of a Supertramp from 1910. Stu, Boomtown Rats, do you know where they got their name from?
No.
In Woody Guthrie's book Bound for Glory, there's a band in there called the Boomtown Rats.
I didn't know that.
There you go.
I didn't know that. That means that I like them slightly more than I hated them before, that conversation.
Yeah, well, you know, if that's all you get from this evening, then that's fine. My favourite, though, the band called The Fugs, F-U-G-S. Apparently when Norman Mailer wrote his book The Quick and the Dead, the US censor was quite harsh, so he had to replace every F word with the word F-U-G-S, which is what they took their name from.
Well, there's been a TV programme on recently, quite a lot of TV programmes about To Kill a Mockingbird, and that has spawned so many different band names. Boo Radley's, Atticus Finch.
Scout Niblet. Who we've played before.
Yes.
So, who's next, Stu?
I'm playing a song by The Box Tops called Choo Choo Train.
Choo-choo!
That was Choo Choo Train by the Box Tops. That was one that was bought by another one of our Discardorama team. That's Chris. He's not with us this time round. But so I assume that means it was bought in Hall Green. That normally is the case if...
Sturchley.
Or Sturchley. So, yeah, I became aware of the Box Tops because I'm a big fan of Big Star and Alex Chilton's work, who sadly died this year. And I'm beginning to prefer the Box Tops to Big Star, funnily enough.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if Chris picks me up on that mention of Sturchley there. We'll see if he listens to this.
I have to say, you're both wrong, because I bought it from West Brom.
Oh, yeah, for £1.
Three for a quid.
And Chris does his shopping in Shirley, just to clarify that.
But that, yeah, I've got not a lot more to add about that. In fact, nothing. So move along, if you like.
Well, moving along to a bit of folk now. A bit of 1960s folk from an Irish band who made their name in America on the Ed Sullivan Show. The Clancy Brothers and Tommy Machen with Wheelie Waller.
Dublin's fair city wouldn't be much without the workers in it. And the workers in Dublin City are a real raunchy kind of lot. They have a gallows sense of humour, they're poor, but they never gave in kind of thing.
No surrender.
No surrender. And the children in the tenements, they're very wise children. Since there's no place to hide anything. They know all the secrets of life before they're 4 years of age, you know. But you might hear children on the stairs of a tenement in Dublin singing a nice little child song like Wheelie Waller.
There was an old woman who lived in the wood, a wheelie wheelie waller. There was an old woman who lived in the wood, down by the river Sawyer. She had a baby 6 months old, a wheelie wheelie waller. She had a baby 6 months old, down by the river Sawyer. She had a penny 3 foot long, a wheelie wheelie waller. She had a penny 3 foot long, down by the river Sawyer. She stuck the knife in the baby's head, a wheelie wheelie waller. The more she stabbed it, the more it bled, down by the river Sawyer. Three big knocks come knocking at the door, a wheelie wheelie waller. Two policemen and a man, down by the river Sawyer.
Are you the woman what killed the child,
a wheelie wheelie waller?
Are you the woman what killed the child,
down by the river Sawyer?
I am the woman what killed the child,
a wheelie wheelie waller.
I am the woman what killed the child,
down by the river Sawyer.
You got choked and she was hung,
wheelie wheelie waller.
You got choked and she got hung,
down by the river Sawyer. The moral of this story is, wheelie wheelie waller. Don't stick knives in babby's heads, down by the river Sawyer.
Fantastic little live recording there. A little moral tale of a woman in Dublin who killed her child. Very dark subject matter for such a light-hearted song, I thought. Clancy Brothers originally went to America to work and moved into acting, but ended up doing folk music, and Big Break was in 1961 when they appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show. And this recording itself was the first time they'd been over to Ireland and toured, and they were recorded live in Belfast. And it really does stand out against the studio stuff, because you get that live atmosphere, and I think that's something that's particularly special with this kind of music. The studio stuff just doesn't have the same gravitas.
Lovely crackling on there as well.
Yeah, I know, the pigs that they got that off.
Well, yeah, we like our records to, you know, be a bit distressed. And yes.
The sound of joy and love etched into their grooves.
Mm. With a song about stabbing a baby in the head, lovely. When I was growing up, there was a punk single called Looking Through Gary Gilmore's Eyes. Never knew what it was about until I discovered, funnily enough, it's about a mass murderer, serial killer who was killed in the States, one of the last people to be executed in some state or whatever. I only mention it because that was by a band called The Adverts. The lead singer left them in 1979. Tim Smith, alias TV Smith, he formed a band called TV Smith's Adventures, and this is their only single. It's called Tomahawk Cruise.
Thank you.
T.V. Smith's Adventurers with Tomahawk Cruise, a song written from the point of view of a nuclear missile. A lot of punk was angry, and like folk, we've had a bit of folk music beforehand. It does represent people of the time. Not a lot of people would associate punk with being protest songs, but T.V. Smith was one. Apparently, in an interview, he was asked, "Do yourself following in that folk tradition of early Dylan or Billy Bragg?" And he replied, "I suppose that tradition and spirit of using songs to protest has been around a lot longer than Dylan or Bragg, though. I think we're all following a tradition that's been around in music forever." He's published two books of his punk tour diaries, and if you're an old punk or would like to hear some more of Smithy and are listening to this on the 6th of August, why not pop along to Blackpool's Rebellion Music Festival tomorrow, where he will be playing.
Nice. The next song is by Buffalo Springfield, and it's called "Do I Have to Come Right Out Here and Say It?" This, to prove the international nature of Discarderama, this is bought in New York City, that's in America for those of you that don't know. In a thrift store, sorry, not a charity shop, a thrift store. That's what they call it over there. For those that don't know what they call charity shops in America, perhaps because they haven't been to New York, that's what they're called.
Do I have to come right out and say it? Tell you that you look so fine. Do I have to come right out and ask you to be mine? If it was a game I could play it, trying to make it, but I'm losing time. I gotta bring you in, you're overworking my mind. Indecision is crowding me, I have no room to spare. Now I don't know where, and a part of me is scared, the part of me I shared once before. Do I have to come right out and say it, tell you that you look so fine,
look so fine.
Do I have to come right out and ask you to be mine? To come right out and say it, girl, tell you that you look so fine.
Look so fine.
Do I have to come right out and
it was a game I could play it. Trying to make it, but I'm losing time. I've got to bring you in, you're working my mind. Do I have to come right out and say it, girl? Tell you that you look so fine, so fine.
That was Buffalo Springfield, and Do I Have to Come Right Out Here and Say It? That was written by Neil Young. Early sign of his talent, I think, and you can hear his style in the song. That was the B-side to their hit single.
Which hit single? On the Road Again?
Nah, they didn't do that. That was Willie Nelson, wasn't it?
Was it?
On the Road Again, well,
I thought they did a version of that.
Well, maybe they did, but... No, that had a big 60s psychedelic hit single.
For what it's worth?
That's it, or the name.
God, you very see professional. The depth of discarded information that we have.
See, I discard the A side for the B side, which is why I don't know what the A side is. So as I say, that was bought in America.
You can't remember where you bought it. It was a thrift store. Thrift stores like charity shops. Have you gave the money to charity, or are they just shops that have cheap goods in them?
Well, a lot of the ones I went to seem to be attached to churches, so I imagine the money goes into
drugs.
Yeah,
removing graffiti off the
walls. I don't know the rules. I don't know if thrift store means charity shop.
Any American listeners out there, please do write in and tell us. The address is twitter.com/discardorama.
Well, you're talking show next, isn't it?
It is. And this is where I like to throw it right out the window and come in with something left field. It's a little bit of Renaissance virtuoso music from a guy called James Tyler. For Sir John Zouche, published in
1959.
Yeah, I think Mike slightly got the date a few years wrong there. That's one of the things I love about Discardorama, is that you go into these places and you're looking through the records and you see a picture of a guy with a funny looking beard and a very strange haircut holding a strange instrument, and you think, I'm going to buy that. And then it turns out it's an absolutely brilliant bit of music. I mean, I do love the Renaissance period anyway.
I absolutely love it.
We can't get enough of it. Yeah. I've got to say, when you said that you went in there and you got something that you threw out the window and it went left field, I thought we were talking about some kind of musical boomerang, and I pitied the kangaroo in the street.
I mean, I've expounded the theory before that the period of the Renaissance was one of the big musical leaps in our history, because it was the first time you could actually transport music from one place to another, because it was the first time I had proper written music. Before that, it had been passed down word of mouth. It'd be people around a fire learning it, or people in a hall learning it together, and you were basically limited by your geographical location. So written music that came along at that time allowed this kind of thing to expand and become the phenomenon that we've got today, which is recorded music.
And then about 20 years later, after that was first written down, it ended up in a charity shop or thrift store, if you're American, and that's why we have it here today.
Does that mean before people were writing music that messengers would have to have an ear for a tune to carry the tune to the next town?
Effectively. I mean, you didn't have musical groups that travelled
much further.
I've heard
this tune from so-and-so.
Yeah.
Pass it on.
What you could say is that musical notation was the world's first iPod.
Yeah, if you want.
Well, that stunned silence is obviously too much for Mike to take, but he must come out of it now because he's got to tell us about his next wonderful track.
Look, if we keep going to places that we've never been to before, we'll never get bored. Track called If We Keep Going to Places That We've Never Been To Before, We'll Never Get Bored, by a band called Moonstruck, and you won't have heard of them because that was a demo disc that I found in a charity shop bin, number 36. Written on there is also a phone number. When I first got this, I actually dialed the phone number and it wasn't in use, but it didn't matter. because I then checked out the area code 360 and discovered it was somewhere along the Quesnelt Road, postcode B43. So if you were in a band called Moonstruck, if you were Chris, the person who recorded this, or any of the other tracks on there, Mice in Plastic Max and The Last Straw, titles you may remember, please get in touch and let us know. We'd be more than happy to hear from you.
And more than happy to tell everyone that we'd heard from you as well.
Indeed.
Excellent song and one of my favourite Discardorama purchases of anyone's, just for the story behind it. That's heartwarming for some reason. I don't know why, because we actually don't know the people did it, but there's something nice about the tale.
It's a local band and they live on through us. We've rescued it from Discardoramaration.
Indeed. Well, I suppose, shall I say this, moving on to someone that can't be rescued, is that? No. This next track is by the late, great Frank Sidebottom. Oh, yes, it is.
All the benefits of Mr. Kite, there will be a show tonight on Snap-on-Me. The Hendersons will all be there, later Pablo, Frankie's fair, for what I see. All the men and horses, hymns and guards, as lastly through a hogshead of real fire.
Sidebottom and the benefit of Mr. Kite. Lucky enough to meet him, well, Chris Seavey, a year or so ago. Forgot to get a recording of him saying, Frank Sidebottom, this is Discardorama. No, I'm Frank Sidebottom, this is Discardorama, which I've been in trouble for ever since. But he was a nice guy and it's a very, very tragic loss.
The record itself is actually in a compilation from 1987. It was a Childline Enemy shared compilation of people doing versions of Sergeant Pepper. It's called Sergeant Pepper Knew My Father. I think the one I picked up actually is the one you picked out of the archive. It's I got it £2 from Scope in Worcester.
Yeah, it was definitely one of yours.
Yeah. Was that the album where they had the Wet, Wet, Wet?
Yes.
Get by with a little help from my friend.
Which everybody does know. And
which gave, I think, gave Billy Bragg his only number one, I think.
That She's Living Home?
Yeah. Because it was a double A song.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. On to some 90s nearly men of the Britpop scene. This is The Long Pigs with Sweetness.
Sweetness, oh, won't you near this? Sweetness, with all thy healing, you take these spiders' life is a short step to happy families. One of us should tear it up, and one of us should cut the cord in this fat collapsed and rush upon.
With Sweetness. That was the B-side to one of their early singles, Jesus Christ, which I think got to about number 61 in the charts. Terribly unlucky band in their early career. Got signed to Elektra. Singer had a car crash 3 days before the first single was released and ended up in a coma for 3 days.
Can we just sum up this evening's happy collection of songs. We've had two people who've died this year. When did this guy?
Well, he's still alive.
All right, so
he didn't die. He was just in a coma for 3 days.
All right, so someone
in a happy ending this time.
Songs about.
There's a song about sweetness.
Child killers.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really are.
Stabbing the baby in the head.
Yeah, that was in there too.
Mm-hmm. Nuclear missiles.
Yeah, of course. Can't.
Don't discount the. Yeah.
But it's been a fine selection of songs. So when you look back, you suddenly realise there's a macabre element to it if you didn't realise when Mike was compiling the list, I'm sure. Or maybe you did.
Well, the good news is it all ended fairly well for the Long Pigs. Richard Hawley, who co-wrote that song, is now a respected solo artist in his own right, nominated for the Mercury Award in 2006 for Cole's Corner. Crispian Hunt has gone on to write for countless different artists as a songwriter. Seems to be perfectly happy with doing what he's doing.
I don't know what songs is he doing?
He's done the range of artists he's written for is really, really weird. Like Natalie Imbruglia, Gabriella Chilmi. And you listen to that and that's classic mid-90s Britpop.
The Tweenies?
He might have written for him, I don't know. But anyway, the Long Pigs may be a footnote in Britpop's history, but they are definitely a footnote worth digging out every now and then.
If you've got a footnote that you'd like us to dig out, you've got access to the internet. We've got a very rarely updated blog. We're on Twitter. And we have a Gmail account, do we?
We do have a Gmail account. I don't know if we ever look at it. It's probably
none of us probably know the password anymore.
No.
It's probably full of emails from people saying, come and do it for me. I've got this record. I need finding.
I think my preferred way is if you do need to get in touch with us, write it down on the back of a £10 note and just give it to us when you see us. Following on from what you were saying, Stu, about death and murder, the Long Pigs, you know where they get their name from? I think it's Polynesian cannibals. Their name for humans is Long Pig because of our taste, which is similar to bacon. My next track is I wouldn't say it's an illegal pleasure, but when we do the Scar Drama, so much of the time we spend, on your behalf, dear listeners, taking punts in charity shops. Three of the tracks I played so far I'd never heard of before, and then I come across Grandma's House, a collection of songs by Wall of Voodoo. My next track is a guilty pleasure. It's my treat to myself, but I hope you enjoy it too. Here's their version of Ring of Fire.
Far went wild.
2 points. One going back to band names. Stan Ridgway, and again we have had a discussion before about famous Stans in music. Apart from those in the world of jazz, you're not really well served. But Wall of Voodoo got their name because Stan Ridgway was trying to set up a music company to do background music for films. And he was playing some demos to a friend, and he said at the time that he was aiming for a Phil Spector kind of wall of sound ethos. His mate listened to it and said, wall of sound? Wall of Voodoo, more like. And my second point is, if you're going to do a cover version, do it like that. Not some limp-wristed interpretation. Make it sound like Johnny Cash goes round to the Addams Family on Halloween.
Indeed. If you're going to do a cover version, make it your own. This is Teenage Fan Club doing Like a Virgin.
Yeah.
Bloody hell, Stu, Madonna's sounding good.
Yeah. Teenage Fan Club with Madonna's Like a Virgin. That was included on an album they did called Deep Fried Fan Club, which I think was a contractual obligation album. I'm not sure. It's quite an odd mix of songs on it. Some covers, Neil Young covers and that, and The Ballad of John and Yoko, is that what it's called? A few interesting covers, a few of their singles, and so I'm not too sure why that album was made, but I like it.
Moving on, the last song of the night. It's not a cover, it's an Italian track, La Collina dei Ciliegi.
E se davvero tu vuoi vivere una vita luminosa e più fragrante, cancella col coraggio quella supplica dagli occhi. Troppo spesso la saggezza è solamente la prudenza più stagnante, e quasi sempre dietro la collina è il sole. Ma perché tu non ti vuoi azzurra e lucente? Ma perché tu non vuoi spaziare con me, volando intorno alla tradizione, come un colombo intorno a un pallone, frenato con un colpo di becco, ben aggiustato, forato, e lui giù, giù, giù. E noi ancora, ancora più su. Planando sopra boschi di braccia tese, un sorriso che non ha né più un volto né più un'età. Che dilagano su terre senza limiti e confini, ci allontaniamo e poi ci ritroviamo più vicini. E più in alto e più in là, segui la mia mente, se segui la mia mente, abbandoni facilmente le antiche gelosie. Ma non ti accorgi che è solo la paura che inquina e uccide i sentimenti, le anime non hanno senso. Preda dei venti, ma perché non mi dai la tua mano? Perché potremmo correre sulla collina e fra i ciliegi veder la mattina.
E giorno,
e dando un calcio ad un sasso residuo d'inferno, farlo rotolar giù, giù. E noi
ancora, ancora più su, planando sopra boschi di braccia tese, un sorriso che non ha volto né più un'età.
Who says the Italians can't do hook-laden mellow pop?
Well, no one said they couldn't. It doesn't mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, when was the last time they won Eurovision? When was the last time they topped our charts?
Well, to be fair, the Italians aren't really well known in this country for the pop music, but I think
you've answered your own question, sir.
I think that, well,
hoisted by his own Peter D.
It was a rhetorical question meant to stimulate discussion.
Let's put this to the real acid test. When was the last time an Italian single was played in an episode of Heartbeat? There you go, sir. Never.
Well, they should have been. Lucio Battisti, he's a big star in Italy. He's. I think that's a beautiful tune.
It has its moments.
That was 49p from Dr. Bernardo's in...
Harborne?
I think because it's sung in a foreign language. Well, it's not foreign to Italians. But because it's sung in Italian, and I don't speak Italian, it improves the song. If it was a song in English, I might be thinking that's quite a bland song I'm not really into. But
it could be instructions on
how to... It becomes more interesting.
Yeah, on how to clean your toaster or something, but, at least... The fella you were saying there in between, while the track was playing, the fella's done quite a fair bit of work, and he's a...
Yeah, he's had a long career. He started, I think, late 50s or early 60s, writing songs for people and performing. And I certainly know that one person in this room has a record that has been written by him.
Maybe so. You say he started writing in the 50s, so you think he would have got it right by the time. No, we don't diss the talent. That bit will be edited out.
It was only a little jest that you did there, Mike.
It won't, no,
I don't think you're really dissing that
no,
much.
No, I own a track by a band called Equipe 84, and as you say, the fella co-wrote that. And if it wasn't for the fact that I knew that you were going to play that Italian track, I would have slammed my Italian track in. For the win.
So, as I said earlier, who says the Italians can't do decent pop? And on that note, I think we shall say...
Yeah, if anyone who's listening to that, waiting for the next track, tough luck, that's it.
Yeah?
Yeah, we're going to have to go.
You'll have to go to Podomatic, Discardorama. Unfortunately, due to size restrictions, we can only have two episodes up at a time.
I can't believe you made aspersions about size restrictions.
As far, because we do it on the cheap, we can only have two podcasts size that we have them, hour long ones up there. But they're worth listening to. And if anyone would like copies of previous ones, again, just get in touch and we can always sort something out. Good night.